Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Zurian Show, and as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. As for us, as always, and as we always try to work on being, we are doing just fine. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is on groupthink. I know, sounds like a bit of an odd subject, but groupthink and you. What do I mean by groupthink and you? Well, you've heard me say on several occasions that everybody has great talents, great gifts, great possibilities, and great things within them. However, most of us fail to realize those dreams or fail to make those dreams a reality because we fall into what I like to call groupthink. Now, the way that I'm touching on it may be a little different than others, but I got a feeling that we'll all still end up getting to the same destination. For me, what groupthink is groupthink is when some group of people tell you for whatever reason there's something that you can't do. For me, groupthink is when you believe that because one person couldn't do it, you can't do it. Groupthink is believing that because somebody that you know and maybe in some cases know, like, and trust to a certain level or believe a certain group because you follow it. In the religious terms, we have a lot of people that do groupthink. You know, whatever their pastor or imam or preacher or, you know, guide, leader, mentor, whatever it is that they say, or in some cases their motivational mentor. Whatever it is that they present to people, people don't look at it any further than what that person has said. Unfortunately, groupthink can be a good thing, fortunately and unfortunately, groupthink can be a good thing and groupthink can be a bad thing. Sometimes it's just the interpretation of the individual and with sharing their thoughts, beliefs, and feelings with you as to whether it's going to be there. But before you just take what I'm saying wholeheartedly, let me give you some examples of where groupthink was definitely a catastrophe for the people that decided to follow it. The Jamestown Massacre, those people that believed that that gentleman was the Messiah, okay? Those people ended up drinking poison and then dying from it. Why? Because they were involved in groupthink. They gave up their possessions. They gave up everything that they had. You know, sometimes they even gave up their, well, a lot of them, they gave up their own individuality along with their children, their wives, their significant others, and, of course, all their money. That was groupthink gone bad. When you talk about the moon people, there was a group of people that believed that Halley's Comet, when it was coming, that that was the mothership and that they were actually all descendants of aliens and that that mothership was going to pick them up and only the people that were part of the moon group or whatever it was, same thing. You've got other cults and things like that that have a great response of people or a great amount of people that respond because they want to belong to that group. So that's groupthink gone really, really bad. Other places where groupthink has actually gone bad is you have race riots. Somebody accuses somebody else of doing something, and because everybody's looking for a reason, because everybody's looking for some type of relief or justification, you know, the group ends up persecuting or in some case crucifying someone else. When you talk about it in history, you look at the Salem witch trials. The Salem witch trials were what? A controlled group of people that the people that they wanted to get rid of or others that jumped on the bandwagon used that excuse, as in witches and warlocks, to actually burn people to the stake. You also have a high level of people that engage in a lot of ignorant things. And when I say ignorant things, I'm talking about hate crimes. I'm talking about things where they don't appreciate a particular group for their color, for their preferences, for their financial positioning or their lack of financial positioning, for the clothes that they wear or the music that they listen to. This also falls under groupthink, looking at it in a negative light. So as I'm talking about groupthink today, what I want you to do is I want you to look and think back in your past or in your present to times that you may have been involved in groupthink. You know, I was talking with a gentleman today. We're going to call him WB, and WB is actually his alias. Well, WB was talking to me, and we were discussing the fact of what we call crab-in-the-barrel mentality, or we were also talking about the level of some ethnicities or cultural beliefs, as in people not helping each other. That's part of groupthink. First off, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you before we go any further. We live on a very small planet when you really look at it. And now with technology, most of us are starting to realize that the planet is a lot smaller than we think. Also, it is a planet where we are the stewards. We are the keepers of this planet. Why do I say that we're the stewards and the keepers of this planet? Because you, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening live or archived, were given something called choice. That choice is something that makes you the stewards of this planet. Birds don't have choice. What do? They migrate in a certain direction. Why? Groupthink, partially, but part of it is part of their DNA. Other animals that do what they do, same thing. Most of them have been doing what they've been doing for hundreds of thousands and millions of years in some cases, like the Galapagos turtles. You know, they migrate to certain islands every year so that they can lay their eggs and so that their young can be birthed. Well, part of it is an instinctive thing because for some of them, that's the only way they'll survive is by laying eggs in mass in one location. However, you as a human being don't have that problem. You don't have a certain time when you can conceive. You do have a certain time when you can conceive. Don't get me wrong. You have a certain time where you may be able to conceive. However, you don't have relations with another person just to conceive, just to have a baby. You can do it whenever you want. You can live in some of the harshest temperatures and harshest climates that there are. Why? Because you have thought. You can think through it. You've created tools. You've been given things that make you unique amongst God's creatures or amongst the universe's creatures, however it is that you want to term it. But that's choice. However, you know, here's a perfect example, and I'm not making fun of anybody, and they just had a real tragedy. But in the Midwest, they have something called the tornado belt. Well, there's people that have lived there all their lives, and a tornado has never hit them or never really affected anyone in their direct family. However, every year, hundreds upon hundreds of people have their houses destroyed by tornadoes. My group think is that if I was born in that group, I'd be moving. But these people don't move. They love where they stay. They love where they live. That's where they were raised. And they continue to stay there. Again, it's your interpretation of how things are, but also sometimes we also need to realize that our interpretations of things may be wrong. They may be a little skewed. We may have some hidden prejudices in what it is that we think and what it is that we want to accept. You know, as I was talking to the gentleman today, WB, we were talking about the fact that if we all lived in a world where each one teaches one, if we all lived in a world where everybody was trying to find a way to actually help everybody else, how much better the world would be as a whole, how much better we would be as a people. We were also talking about the fact of, again, talking about helping people, where if you're having a problem, you probably know, literally know, and I'm talking about if you have a problem and you're the proactive type of person that's going to be thankful and take responsibility and do what you're supposed to do, and then, of course, be reciprocal in the fact that someone helped you and thankful and grateful that somebody took the time to extend to you their credibility or their connections. But here's the thing. What we were saying is that it's amazing how on any given day, you can be in a situation or you can be in a problem, and there's people that you know in your group, in your sphere, in your circle, that will not give you the connection, the introduction, the referral, the tools or access to someone that could present you with the tools to actually change your situation. That's amazing. You know, the other day I put out a thing about the homeless and how people that are homeless have become the invisible homeless. I didn't come up with this term, but the groupthink that we're engaged in is to where now, even when we see the homeless, we don't see the homeless. And the study that was done, or the video that was shot, which is great, if you go online, you can find it, but basically it was called The Invisible Homeless. And it was really, it was a perfect illustration of groupthink. And when I say groupthink, I'm talking about groupthink that we're not even conscious of. What had happened was they had taken people that had family members that were close to them, people that had been integral parts of their lives, integral parts of their memories, people that these people held dear. So what they did was they picked a certain amount of different people, and they found the family members that had meant something to them in their lives, people that had a deep meaning for these people. You know, a husband, his wife of 34 years, you know, a young lady, her brother, who she felt as if they were soulmates, another young lady who the person in her life was a key person in her whole existence, was part of who she was. Well, because of groupthink, what they ended up doing was they dressed these people up, and I'm talking about the people that they cared about, in clothes of the homeless. They dressed them up in these clothes, and they put them out in the streets where these people walk by every day, their normal routines. And the interesting thing was they showed about four different people that ended up walking by. And in some cases, there was more than one person that was key in that person's life or had meaning to them or was very important to them. And I'm talking brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, all of that stuff. And what they did was they put these homeless people right in the path of these people. So these people walked by, going through their normal day, looked at these people, but didn't connect that those people were their loved ones. Didn't connect that those homeless people on the streets that they may not have seen in a week, 2 weeks, doesn't matter how long, were now living on the street looking as if they were destitute, looking as if they didn't have a place to live, looking as if they were the forgotten and unknown homeless. So as they were going to wherever they were going to, as in the people that were walking by, they actually, of course, pulled them off the street and asked them, hey, tell us what you really think about, you know, these particular people. Tell us about people that really meant something to you. Tell us about people who moved you. Tell us about people who were basically positive forces in your life, positive mentors, positive role models, people that you loved and would do anything for, in some cases die for. Tell us about them. And they did that. And then after they asked those people, what they did was they showed them a video. The video was of those same people walking past their loved ones, walking past their mentors, walking past their family members, walking past their husbands, their wives, their brothers, actually looking at them, but not really looking at them, basically the invisible homeless. Well, that's part of groupthink. We've become so jaded, so accustomed to not seeing people in need, and I'm not talking about bleeding or gunshots or hit by a car or anything like that, but we've become so groupthink about not seeing certain things that even though the most important people in their lives were right in front of them, these people walked by them. That's part of a cultural groupthink. That's part of a, I'm so busy thinking about what I'm so busy thinking about that I don't even see what's truly supposed to be important to me. So what I'm asking everybody today is, as you go through your day, as you go through your life, as you look at your past actions and future actions, I want you to think of how many times has groupthink, and in some cases a very non-positive groupthink, had a, an effect on your thinking, had an effect on your actions, had an effect on your decisions and how you actually deal with your life. How many times? You know, we want to blame all of our woes and problems on those that have more than us or those that are in stronger or better positions than us. But really, who controls you? Who's the person that actually steers you, or who are the people, or who are the groups, or who are the organizations that actually steer you into thinking the way that you think? How many times have you looked at maybe somebody else's religion and really not known anything about it? However, even though you didn't know that person's religion, you still consider them to be bad because they're Muslim, and we right now have a big problem with things that have happened by people that are of the Muslim faith but may not be following what 99% of the other Muslims are following. How many times have you prejudiced what you've done, what you said, or who you've spoken to? How many times do you guard what you say to somebody that may be gay or have a different view on the world? How many times have you said a comment to somebody that was, let's say, Hispanic or black about somebody that was white, or vice versa? How many Spanish people do you know, or Filipino people do you know, that don't consider themselves to be Spanish or don't consider themselves to be Asian but consider themselves to be Caucasian? And if you're one of those people, why do you feel that way? Why have you positioned yourself to believe that you being of the Asian race as being a negative over you being a Caucasian race, or even if you're African American or any other culture? What makes you think that because your, let's say, your sexual preference is different, that everybody that you meet has some problem with you because you've chose another line, you've chose another direction? And is your belief true? Is your belief even real? I understand that your perception is your reality and what you believe is real to you, but is it really real? If I was to put 10 people up and ask them the same question, would they give the same answer? Would they feel the same way? And I'm talking about a random poll of people. Gay, straight, doesn't really matter. Preference doesn't matter. I'm not a person that loves football, but I'll play football. I'm not a person that loves baseball, but I'll play baseball. I don't have a prejudice against it. I have a prejudice against the fact that if I'm not doing it, then I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm happy for the people that play it, that participate in it, and that are actually earning insane money from it in some cases because that's their passion. I'm actually envious in a positive way that they're able to live their dreams as I try harder to reach my own, as I try harder to get to the level that I want to get to so that I can create the life that I want to create for my family and have the growth that I need from within. I'd also like to thank Mr. Thomas Harrelson. Thomas is an awesome individual, and he is the owner of his own accounting firm, and he's with eCountables, or Accountables, I always say that wrong, out of the Woodbridge, Virginia area. Thomas is a huge person, and he's also listening right now. So, again, I am truly thankful for his counsel, his friendship, and all of the above. But anyway, back to what we were saying, ladies and gentlemen. What is it that you need to do to get you out of groupthink? You know, that's actually pretty interesting. I was just talking about Thomas. Well, Thomas actually does credit restoration. Well, how many of you could use Thomas's services, but because of groupthink or because of what somebody else is going to do or somebody else may think or somebody else may say, you won't seek out somebody like Thomas Harrelson to help you to fix your credit? You know, how many people won't go to another Hispanic or another African American to get your stuff done because groupthink is a certain way, and that groupthink has put a negative connotation on you dealing with somebody from one of those races or that level of ethnicity? You know, it's really interesting when we look at the interaction of people and how we frame things and how we create things and how we make things into something that they're really not, and how our perceptions control so much of our actual actions. You know, what was that saying? You know, you're speaking so loud I can't hear what you're saying. What does that mean? That means that your actions are so different from what you're presenting yourself to be that I can't hear what you're trying to tell me. You're giving me advice, but you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. Again, that's all part of groupthink. That's where they come from when they say the crab in the barrel. How many of you will help someone that you don't know but won't help somebody that you do know because you don't want that person to do better than you? Well, how many of you does it take for your entire race to actually be erased? If we want to talk about groupthink, let's look at the African-American community and how a lot of the things that happened in slavery that were embedded in our parents' parents' parents have transferred over even now in a modern time to where they still apply. They really don't apply, but we've made them apply because we've accepted them as what? As part of our understanding of the world. If anybody's looking for that video that I was talking about the unseen homeless, it's http://buf.ly/1fnpepc. That's the short code. If you're actually listening to the show live, you can click on the link. Again, Mr. Thomas Harrelson is following, and he shared that with us today. But anyway, that's the link on the basically invisible homeless. Well, the invisible homeless, like I said, is a perfect illustration of groupthink. Now, here's people that don't even know each other, don't even know each other's significant others or the people that are in that are in their lives, but as a group, as a culture. And these people were different ages, different ethnicities, different sexes, but as a culture, we have learned through groupthink to delete actually seeing the homeless. Well, again, what else are we deleting? What else are we not including in our lives and then therefore missing out on life itself? What other things are missing from our pie? You know, everybody's kind of like a pie. Well, which slices of the pie, which ingredients aren't in your pie? Because guess what? If you're missing certain ingredients out of your pie and every one of us is a pie, then that's going to affect what? That's going to affect the taste of the pie. That's going to affect the longevity of the pie. That's going to affect how the pie cooks. That's going to affect the look of the pie. It's going to affect a whole lot of different things. So, again, I'd like you to think of yourself like a pie. What ingredients are you missing? Yeah, you look like a pie. You smell like a pie. You may not taste like a pie. But what ingredients are missing from your life, or what things have you let groupthink actually replace in your life to where now that's become your thought? That's become your belief. If you have a belief, what's it based on? What facts or what grounds do you actually come to that conclusion? You know, I really just love talking about this subject and talking about the fact of, are you an individual or are you engaged in groupthink? You know, there was a show that came on. It was Men in Black. On Men in Black, there was a little part where Will Smith and Tommy, whatever his name is, Davis, I think, Tommy Davison, I think that's his name. Anyway, the two actors were playing a particular part. And in there, Will Smith had just been exposed to a huge alien kind of invasion, you know, where he felt that everybody needed to know. So he gets with Tommy Davison and he says, hey, or again, the other gentleman's name, and he goes, hey, people need to know about this. You can't keep hiding this crap from people. People are smart. People are intelligent. People will get with this, and we can fight this as a team. And the gentleman that had experience stopped him and said, you know, you're absolutely right. People are smart. People are intelligent. He said, but when you get people in masses, they become riotous. They become rude. They become unthinking masses of usually negative action. Now, I didn't exactly phrase that the same, but think about it. Think of a lynching. Think of a riot. Think of when somebody that looks like they could be the right guilty party, be it that their color, their preference, their history, whatever, has gone to jail and didn't commit the crime, has been killed and didn't commit the crime, has been persecuted or considered to be bad and they didn't do anything wrong. Again, that can be groupthink. Can groupthink be positive? Yes, it can. However, most times, groupthink isn't always positive. And even sometimes, positive things can be misconstrued. They can be changed and twisted to where now that thing that was originally positive, that force that was originally a force for good, has been found by a person that is just a great talker, a great manipulator. And that person has now changed the focus, the specific focus, not the overall focus. They've changed the specific focus of in a certain way to where now that positive has become a massive negative, to where that purpose has now been distorted, and it doesn't even have the same context. You know, another interesting one was I was on a call. It was a group call for a group of young ladies that put together a relationship program. And it's a great program. They talk about some great stuff. They help a lot of individuals, and it's definitely a positive call if anybody gets a chance to connect with it. The reason I'm not going to say their name is because there's been times where the young ladies on there have a very religious base, and they've been so wrapped up in the religious base that someone that was a good talker, someone that was a good presenter, has actually taken the words that are written but twisted the meaning. Why? Because there's nothing written in stone. However, your phraseology, your structure, your presenting of the same information in a different way can change the flow, the direction, and the meaning of everything that you're saying. So the thing that I thought was really amazing about it was these ladies were presenting what they were presenting, and they had this gentleman that came on, and the gentleman started quoting things from the Bible. However, he started changing the understanding of what was actually being said. He put it in his words, and those words weren't in line with what was being said. But those women got so wrapped up in the moment, because they got so wrapped up in the thought of the positive flow of the spirit that they missed the slight change that changed the direction. So even though what he was saying seemed correct and seemed positive and seemed on track, it was way off track. So ladies and gentlemen, you need to guard your mind, you need to guard your ears, and you need to pay attention as you go through your life. Make sure that the decisions that you make are your decisions and not a group's decisions. And if you are agreeing with what the group is saying, make sure that the group is right. And two, make sure that you're right. A plane that goes from here to California, is it on course 95% of the time? No. There's slight corrections that are made all through that flight. Why? Because there's wind turbulence, there's low pressures, there's high pressures, there's clouds, there's other planes that are flying. So that plane is constantly off course, but it's constantly making corrections that are getting it to its destination. If you're standing and listening to what I'm saying right now, your body is making hundreds and thousands and millions of corrections. And those hundreds and thousands and millions of corrections are what's keeping you standing and keeping you upright. You think you're standing perfectly still, but you're not. You're making little small corrections with your muscles. If you're sitting in a car and you're driving, there's hundreds of thousands of things going on right now as you operate a motor vehicle. However, you're not conscious of it, but are there still constant changes going on? Yes. So nothing is constant in life except what? Change. However, a lot of us that are changing aren't actually growing. We aren't actually learning what we need to learn to become the people that we were meant to be. We're actually not living up to our potential. I've said this before, too. Most of us are a sad shadow of what we could be. So I'm asking you to stop and look and say, who can you help today? Who can you help that's going to take that information and do something positive with it? Because guess what? You're going to end up helping yourself by helping them. And like I told my friend WB today, I may not be able to pay you back for what you've done for me. However, that doesn't mean I may not be able to pay you back by helping your child or helping your child's child. Because if I help your child's child or your child's child's child, would that still not be something that you'd be grateful for? Would that still not be something that you felt was a definite great thing that I did for you, even though it wasn't directly for you, but it was for someone that you loved and cared about? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you can help me, please help me. But if you can help anybody else with anything that they're doing to help them live their dreams, do it. Most times it doesn't cost you anything. And if you don't help them, what do you lose? You lose a lot. But if you do help them, God, what do you gain? This is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying, groupthink is fine, but make sure that groupthink is right. You're an individual. Act like an individual. But stop thinking of yourself. Think of others. Stop worrying about yourself. Worry about others. As Zig Ziglar said, who somebody brought up today, guess what? If you help enough people get what they want, you'll get everything that you want. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. And if anything that we said today was something that was useful to you or meaningful to you or that somebody you know needs to hear, please share the show with them. And also, please listen. And if you favorite our show, you hear about future shows to come. Again, that link for The Invisible Homeless was buff.ly/1fnpepc. And that's the short code. And Brother Thomas Harrelson of Accountables in Northern Virginia, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking to get your taxes done or you're looking to get your credit restored and fixed, I'd advise you to call Thomas Harrelson of Accountables. Again, he's in Woodbridge, Virginia. Awesome person, very credible, very knowledgeable, very helpful, and he also keeps his mouth shut. So your business is your business. He won't share it with anybody else. This is, again, Zurian of the Zurian Show saying take care, be well, and we wish you every success.